The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Good morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus, our Christ, this morning. Good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Today is truly the day the Lord has made. Let us be grateful, thankful. Let us rejoice in heart to gather together in worship, to sing hymns, to share, to fellowship, to hear the word expounded. For today is truly the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we truly thank you for each and every blessing in our life. And one of those blessings is to get to come to a place we call church, to meet with our family, to share in your love and grace with others who believe as we do, who walk the same path as us, with ups and downs, struggles and triumphs, but all of it walking with you. And now may we come and worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. This is the rejection of Jesus at Nazareth. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometowns and among their own kind or kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief." The mission of the 12. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's fix something in verse 3, just so you got it right, if your Bible don't read this way. It should read in the Greek, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" So if yours don't have that word, carpenter's son, stick it in there. It needs to be in there because that's important. Now, in this text this morning, we've got Jesus. He's been curing people. He's been healing people. We talked about the woman last week being cured from the issue of blood by touching his garment and raising the religious leader's daughter up from the dead. And now Jesus has decided to go home. He goes back to his hometown. And when he gets there, it's interesting. He probably checks in at home. And then it says, and then he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he's teaching in a synagogue. And notice that as he's teaching, the people are in awe. They're just in awe of what he's teaching. They're in awe of his wisdom. And not only is Jesus able to teach better than the synagogue scribes could or the Pharisees in that time, but he was teaching not just the legalism of it, the letter of it, and the technical parts of it, but the spirit of it as well. And so much so that they are absolutely astounded. They are amazed. And not only that, the people go, where did he get this wisdom? You can follow down through there with me. And that, where did he get the wisdom? And we don't, whoa, this is just blowing them away. They are being enlightened and they're being challenged. And it's just, can you imagine? It's one of those services where you're in church and you're just going from one moment of whoa, wow. And then notice the next sentence is, it ends with an explanation point, and they say, look at the mighty acts that he's doing at his hand. And it's an explanation. They're seeing the deeds he's doing. They're hearing the teaching. They're in his presence, and they are awestruck by it. But then, you know, there's always waiting on the other shoe to drop, aren't we? But then somebody says, is this not the carpenter's son? Yeah, no, remember the story? We don't know how old Jesus is. He's probably 30. He's probably been gone from his town there in Bethlehem, Judea, Galilee, and it doesn't really take, but he's been gone for a number of years. His family's still there. The family roots are still there. But he's been gone. He comes back. He's traveling with these 12 people. Now, you know, all of a sudden, the hometown boy comes in. He's got a little entourage with him, right? And he goes home, and he's teaching, and man, everything's going good. Man, it's just, oh, he's doing mighty deeds. He's doing this stuff, and they're amazed, and they're in awe. And then somebody says, is this not, I know him. Is this not the carpenter's son? The son of Mary, you know, that girl what told that fabulous story about getting pregnant without ever knowing a man? Yeah, that one. Yeah, there's a little something going on there, isn't there? Did you know that in the Jewish custom, an illegitimate child, a woman who had an illegitimate child, could not be redeemed? It was over for her. She could no longer go back to church. It couldn't be erased. You couldn't do enough cleansing, enough washing, a little soap. So guess who Mary was? Guess who and how she was treated. And now Jesus, is this not Mary? Is Mary's son, that carpenter Joe? Notice they didn't even use the man's name. It's such a disgrace. How dare this bastard stand in front of us? And he's got four brothers. It's Mary, and he's got four brothers, and he's got sisters. They don't name the girls because girls wasn't important in that day. So we know that Jesus had at least four brothers and some sisters. We don't know how. So Jesus wasn't an only child. Of course, they're just half brothers and sisters. And do they not still live here? This guy's going on, isn't he? What's he doing? He's building Jesus a box. He's got the box built. He's nailed the lid on it. And he has put a label on it. Unclean. Illegitimate. He judged him, sentenced him, boxed him, and delivered him. And then it says, what does the crowd do? What does it say? They were offended by him. They were offended. He didn't, all that wonderful teaching, all of those great works, all of a sudden didn't mean anything. What changed? The label they put on the messenger. And it says, and he couldn't do any great work among them because of their unbelief. And Jesus said he couldn't believe how, couldn't believe. Astounded, even Jesus. And they couldn't do any great works among them because of their unbelief. And now Jesus goes out and he's got his disciples with him and he says, you know, I've got to come off of this. This is kind of sort of bad news, wasn't it? Rejected by your own hometown people. So he's out and he's teaching, doing some stuff. So he sends his disciples out. And it's important to notice how he sends out his disciples out with sandals, one coat, go. No money, no food, no nothing, go. And he says, go and teach and preach. Go and give them the message. And if they receive the message, then go in with them and stay until it's time to leave. Of course, you're going to stay until it's time to leave. But I think what he was saying to them was, don't overstay. Don't get too comfy. You know? Have you ever had somebody come and overstay? When I was growing up, there was a couple. They made their rounds. At our house, and they'd show up about once a month, and they would stay until you fed them, and once you fed them, they'd leave in just a little while. It was the funniest thing. Daddy knew they was coming, and he had Mama put food in the bedroom. He said, we'll starve them out. We'll sneak back there and eat, but we won't fix nothing to eat while they're here. They spent the night. Daddy said, let's have breakfast early. The next time they showed up, he fed them as soon as they got there. They didn't stay an hour. He said, that's worth it. Have you ever had somebody out stay their welcome? Where are you at? You know, so he said, go. If they accept you, then what does he tell them to do? Bless this house, this person, with what? My peace. Let there be peace. Stay. But if not, then dust off your shoes and move on. Now, what do we take away from all this stuff? Number one, we live in a time and an age in our society where people love labels, don't they? How many of you have met somebody new and the first thing they wanted to know was what you did? And if you tell them you're retired, Greg, what do they say? What did you used to do? You see, we want to put labels on somebody as soon as we meet them, don't we? And if they don't give us one, we'll start putting one because they look like somebody. Have you ever done that? Do you know what's really embarrassing? It's really embarrassing. When you're at Walmart, and you think you know somebody, and you go up and you grab them on the shoulder only to turn around and that ain't them. Be careful. All labels don't reveal the same contents. Not that I've had that happen to me, but a few times. But we have to be careful. Jesus was there preaching, teaching, doing mighty acts, and all of a sudden the label makers and the box builders showed up. And they put him in a box and shut him down. First thing we need to take away from this is unbelief equals no miracles. Unbelief equals the absence of the presence of Christ in your life. Unbelief means God's blessings are withdrawn. Fourth, most importantly, the peace is absent. The world's peace may be there, but we know what that is, right? Fickle, temporary, sometimes. You go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. That's why people become alcoholics and drug addicts and addicted to other things. They try to fill that void that only God can fill with junk. So now we begin this and they reject Jesus. So we have a choice in our lives, don't we? We always have two, right? They could have accepted Jesus and said, I don't care who this man is. He's speaking the truth. But that's not what they did. They boxed him in. unbelief separates us from God. Unbelief is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that's a non-forgivable. Because to believe is the opposite of unbelief. So he sends out his disciples. He said, I need a win-win here. And he goes and they people and he says to them to preach something. What did he tell them to preach? What did he tell them to preach? We might need to know what God sends us out to do. God sends us just like he sent them. Remember the Great Commission, and I tell you, go and to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? We miss that. We jump right over that. We go, whoop-a-doo, and I'm there, you know. Oh, I'm glad it, Jesus got a good thing. Them disciples come back, and the demons were cast out, and all of that stuff. Boy, he did a good turn. But we forget, what did they have to go tell? What did people have to do to accept them, receive them, and on accepting and receiving, they received the peace? What did they have to do? Come on, somebody. They had to repent. They went to preach the same message that John the Baptist sent and preached. And it's the same message today. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh my, did I just get into politically incorrect? If you go tell people today to repent, they'll go, what of? You hating on me? Are you judging me? You know, sometimes things just are, right? It just is. It just is. It's almost got to the point that I can't go out there and tell you that Greg Fisher drives a yellow Mustang. Well, that's not really yellow. That's really not. That's called sunburst. No, it's yellow. It's sunburst. Do you hate me because I picked sunburst? Have we not got there? This is yes. You don't worry about being politically correct. I can't do it. I guess maybe it's my southern accent. I'm judged as soon as I start talking anyway. You know, I'm a white male chauvinist pig, you know, from the get-go. It don't matter what I say. It don't matter my actions. It's just what I am. But isn't that true? So if we go out into the world and we preach this message, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, what are people going to do with us? They'll put you in a box, aren't they? Holy roller, Bible thumper, Jesus freak. Are we so afraid of that box? Maybe it's a box we ought to get in and a label we should wear. Maybe we should be known for our yes being yes and our no being no. And that the Word of God's the life on the thing on which we build our lives. Because he said that if you go and if they receive my message to repent, what does he say? Go in. You're welcome. But if not, what does he say to do? Walk away. Folks, I got news for you. There is a time when people are going to reject the message of Christ and they're going to reject the messengers of Christ. The Bible says, Paul writes to us and says, in those last days they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of everything else, and reject God. I got news for you. If you're trying to witness to somebody and their home and they keep the door shut, quit beating your head against it. Dust it off and move along. They didn't reject you. You need to get this right. It isn't your message. It's his message. I recall the prophet Samuel. Samuel was doing things in Israel, and he was leading the nation of Israel. And all of a sudden, they come up. They said, hey, Samuel, we've had a meeting. Committee's met. And we've decided we want a king. Well, Samuel said, what do you mean? You want a king? You got me. I'm called of God, appointed of God, sent of God. And he gets mad. Did anybody know the story? He gets upset and he storms off and he goes and he prays and he says, God, they rejected me. They rejected me. Can you believe these people? And God says, Samuel, sit down, son. I got to tell you something. He said, it isn't you that they rejected today. It is me. It is me. And he gave him a king. That didn't turn out so good. Folks, if they reject the message of Christ given in love, by grace, and in mercy, you can't change it. You can't change people. You can't beat them in the head with it. You can't strike them down with it. But he calls them to repent. What does repent mean? Anybody want to take a shot at it? Do what, Brent? Change of mind. And heart. And what are you talking about, broken? Sorry. So you admit you're wrong? You have to be wrong. You have to be humble. You have to humble yourself before God. I admit I'm wrong a lot. I'm married. You didn't get that, did you? You're afraid to. As we'd say back south, you're scared, aren't you? See how we put all them words together? It's a great economy of language. You know, you're scared. That means you are afraid. You know, practice it. So it means to repent means to turn away from. You got to humble yourself, admit it, and you got to repent. That means you turn away from it. If you continue to do it, you ain't repented. You've just confessed it. Repentance means you turn away from it. Does that mean we're all perfect? Nope. Does that mean we're going to get it all right? Nope. Do you know something? It's almost, and I would guarantee you, it's humanly impossible for any one of us, me included, to repent and turn away from it and not do it anymore without God's help. Because I got news for you. He's a lot better driver than I am. But he says, I will be with you always. Now, Jesus said to us, he gave us some promises, didn't he? What was one of those promises? What's he going to give us? You folks need to spend some more time in your book. Whose peace? His peace. And he says, and my peace. He sent his disciples to offer them peace. He says, I give you my peace, not as the world gives you. Folks, a lot of people ask me all the time, Pastor, how do I know? You need to listen to this part. If you went to sleep, kind of stirring, wake up a little bit. How do I know that I'm doing God's will, following God's will in my life? It is by knowing his peace. Let's say that you're faced tomorrow with a difficult decision. Maybe you've faced an uncertain situation. Maybe it's tight, tense, and uptight, and you're not sure which way to go, and you can't make up your mind which side of the fence you're going to land on. Then I believe you need to pray. But I only encourage you to do one other thing. Listen to the Spirit. Begin to pray about it. And then imagine saying yes and saying no. Doing it or not doing it. Which one of those two scenarios gives you peace? As you pray about it and you put them up. Remember, there's how many choices? Do it or don't. You know, you got two. Find out which one of them gives you peace. That's it. You follow God. Because God will give you peace. If there is no peace, don't do it. And if you still want to do it, but there's no peace, then continue to pray. Maybe it'll change. You need to understand this. God doesn't hear the prayers of an unrepented sinner. They're not getting out of the room. Until you pray the prayer that accepts Christ as your Savior, it's falling on deaf ears. Christ died that we would have a relationship with God. And once we accept Christ, then that relationship is restored. But until then, we're at enmity. We are separated from God. They don't get past the windshield or the ceiling. That's a hard fact. We have to accept him, to receive him, to be united with him, and to have his ear. When we accept him, he hears every prayer we utter. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need an intercessor. Christ is there. He's on duty. And you have direct access to God. What are you going to do with that direct access? Tap the power, church. Do you know that God has limitless power and resources and energies? Number one, don't put people in a box. Let God do that. If you can, take the box down. Maybe they need to be set free. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about redemption. Tell them about salvation. Don't tell them about you. Tell them about Him. Borrow this from Charles Wesley. Let me introduce you to my Jesus. Jesus was rejected because they couldn't believe they were wrong. They couldn't believe that God had sent the Messiah under questionable circumstances because that didn't suit them. Amen. Let us pray. Father, let us hear from you today through love, grace, and mercy. Let us hear in our hearts today that sweet message of love and forgiveness. Father, it doesn't matter what our past has been. It doesn't matter what the family history may be or the absence thereof. Father, you give us our identity. You give us our purpose. Father, when we accept you, our relationship is restored. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive power literally from on high. And Father, as we come to you today, every one of us is likely to have things that we need to repent of, to turn away from. And Father, we need strength to do that, and we pray into that this morning. And we claim that this morning in the name of Jesus. We claim your power. We claim your peace. We claim your presence. We claim your forgiveness this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray into our own hearts and lives that we know we are forgiven, that we know we are set free, and that it doesn't matter what label the world might put on us, your label is what matters. That we have a bold witness in love and grace, telling people about the love of Christ, that they would receive Christ. Father, that don't mean we're praying that people be perfect. It doesn't mean that anyone can be, but it means that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we trust Him as our Savior. Father, we are called fishers of men. We're to catch them. He'll clean them. So, Father, help us to tear down the labels that hide God's potential in a box. Thank you, Lord, for your Son and our Savior, Jesus our Christ. Amen. I encourage you to go out and take down the labels. Share the good news of grace and mercy. Live into God's potential for you and your life. Share the good news and pass His peace. Don't worry if some don't receive it. That's to be. But tell them about our Jesus. Now may God's grace, peace, and blessings go with you and keep you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.